There is a noise outside. Your stomach gnaws away at itself. Food is a distant memory. It has been years, centuries maybe. You refuse to die from it. Hunger and silence are all you know. There is a noise outside. Hunger and silence. Hunger and silence. You think you are awake. It's hard to tell after so long. You've been in this room for as long as your hunger-racked mind can remember. You've propped yourself up against the wall. You know all the stones in the wall, all the iron in the door opposite you. Every nuance of the shiny blade that burns you if you touch it. Every pebble on the ground. All the gold discs and the red transparent rocks. You counted them once. You're not sure if numbers work the same now. It's been a while. You moved more then. You only propped yourself against a wall some of the time. There is a noise outside. Hunger and silence. Hunger and silence. The silence is gone. Hunger and hunger and hunger. Hunger stirs in you. Your barely open eyes register flickering light under the door opposite you. There are voices outside. Footsteps, prey, flesh, food. The hunger bids you to move.
Seems like we should have run into something by now.
Hold it. Hidden door.
Huh. How did you know?
Elves rule, that's how.
Maybe if we find monsters, you can stab them to death with your pointy ears.
Hey, be quiet. There might be something in here.
There's not gonna be anything in there. This whole ruin is totally abandoned. That old man was crazy, I swear.
Yeah, you're probably right. Let me at least pick this door open.
There's a sound coming from your door. Mustering what little strength still resides in your emaciated frame, you shamble over to the side of the door. With a small click, the door begins to swing open, obscuring your position. You hear someone take a step inside, a small click as they kick one of the gold discs. You hear her heart begin to beat faster.
Nope, room's empty. Why don't you check down the corridor just to make sure? I'll check in here for more hidden doors.
Yeah, sure.
You hear one of them taking a few steps down the hall outside, and the other one step into your room and laugh quietly to herself. She bends down over the pile of gold discs and starts to feverishly shovel them in a small bag. The hunger in your gut pushes you to act. With strength you didn't know you had, you lunge forward and grab her. There is a rushing in your ears as your tentacle arms lash out and wrap around her as if they had a mind of their own. Some instinct in you tells you to cover her mouth, and she lets out a muffled cry. You unceremoniously shove her down into your waiting stomach and feel a wave of relief wash over you. You feel energy flooding back into your aching muscles, but the hunger still lingers. You hear the prey in the hall call out,
"Day one!"
The voice full of uncertainty. Your body starts to recover slightly. You may direct your growth to a degree. You may recover your ability to walk on walls and ceilings, improve your senses, or increase your speed. You'll have the ability to recover other attributes the more you eat. You feel your tentacles, formerly the texture of old parchment, ooze some sticky fluids. You instinctively crawl up the wall onto the ceiling and peek out onto the hallway. You see another figure further down, holding a torch whose light does not extend to your position. You can hear his heartbeat quicken, and he draws his weapon. You suspect he knows you're there. How do you proceed? You slink across the ceiling as quietly as you can. The man whirls around and brandishes his torch, swinging it side to side, his head darting left and right. You try your best to remain still and quiet as the light from his torch illuminates you fully. The man does not look up. Just a few more feet and you will be able to drop down on him and devour him. In your anticipation, a single drop of drool drips from your mouth. The man leaps back as he sees you and yells loudly. He drops his torch to the floor and brandishes his axe with both hands.
Daywin, come quick, there's a monster in the hall. Daywin,
You can see anger flash across his face.
Daywin, damn you beast! What are you and what did you do with Daywin?
His face erupts in a sneer of utmost hatred, and he bellows loudly at you. You can almost see the veins in his head bulging, practically frothing at the mouth. He leaps at you with his axe, but does not appear to be able to jump high enough to reach. You consider spitting or vomiting on the torch. You have no problem seeing in the darkness, but this man clearly does. The action feels familiar, and you think it may be possible, but you can't seem to find it in you right now. Perhaps if you ate some more. The man makes a few more frantic leaps in your direction. You can hear his breath getting more ragged with every attempt. You open your ancient mouth, and a low rumble comes from your throat.
What am I? I am hungry, and I am old. The other one, the Daywin, in my stomach. Delicious, dead, part of me. You will never get her back.
You coil the muscles in your tentacles, preparing to leap down from the ceiling the moment the man throws his axe to devour him. Then you laugh at him. Your body retches as you do, and a noise erupts from you like 100 footsteps in gravel. You can hear the man's heart practically pumping out of his chest, and his body heat raises even further. He tightens his grip on his axe and levels it at you. With a vicious scream, he charges down the hall. He leaps up at the wall and with another yell kicks off it with all of his might. You begin to shrink backwards further down the corridor. The axe swings. You feel a tearing pain in your shoulder, and your arm feels weaker. The man lands, and his muscles quiver. You can smell the sweat pouring off him, his breath coming now in short gasps. He seems weaker now, somehow. Before you can overcome the pain and react, he scoops up his dropped torch and flees into the darkness, further into the ruin. You drop to the floor and pursue the man down the hallway, but your slow lumbering makes it difficult to keep up with him. Before long, he is a distant speck. You follow him through the twists and turns of the corridors by listening for his footsteps, passing many strange doors along the way. After what seems like an hour of slow plodding, you find a place where the smooth stone corridor gives way to a rough-hewn tunnel that appears to continue downward. The smooth stone hallway continues onto the side. Listening intently, you can hear the sounds of life in both directions, but your senses are not yet acute enough to determine which side leads to your current prey. As your mind churns over the decision, something else bubbles to the surface. That last prey was an elf. You're not sure how you know that, but you do. It was not a Daywin, and you realize that was a specific name for that specific elf. You think you'd like a specific name for your specific whatever you are. Victor. It is not yet a fitting name, but you aspire to make it so. Clutching your injured arm, you begin to plod down the rough-hewn tunnel. It slopes and spirals downward at a sharp angle. You can hear the sounds in front of you getting closer, and your hunger rises again. The sounds stop ahead. As you move closer, you hear the familiar heartbeat, the ragged breath. You begin to salivate again. The tunnel opens before you, but your starved mind can only focus on one thing. With expert silence and staggering speed that defies your weary limbs, you lunge forward and take your meal. His skull yields easily to your powerful jaw, and you have him in your stomach in mere moments. Relief washes over you, and your injury begins to knit itself back together. Your surprise is stifled, and your mind begins to clear. This seems right. Half-memories well up from a forgotten pool of your mind. You remember pain and pride. You see a vast coral city floating on an ocean of stars, and recall your body rebuilding itself from nothing in a pool of blood. Your hunger, while still present, is no longer paramount in your mind. The nourishment from the man's body quickly courses through your body, and it swells and stretches. You can feel formerly dehydrated tentacles budding on your skin. You may direct your growth to a degree. Would you like to augment your stretchiness, increase your speed, heighten your sensory acuity, or something else?
You feel your slimy hide grow to be more pliable, and you force mobility into growths you didn't know you had. Your muscles feel coiled and tense, ready to strike. To test your newfound power, you lash out with several tentacles down the side of the column. For the first time since entering, you stop to take in the scenery. The tunnel you followed led you into an immeasurably vast cavern with a river flowing through a ravine in the center. Stretching off into the distance, you can see many pillars similar to the one you currently stand on, each with paths winding up their sides. Looking around, you see several signs of civilization. Many of the stalagmites have been hollowed out into some sort of primitive housing. Though you do not see many living creatures about, you can see a few unidentifiable beings milling about in the distance. A bit closer to you, you can see four of them surrounding a fire. In the center of the ravine, you can see a single massive column structure with several bridges leading from the sides of the chasm to a bulbous structure along the middle of the column. It is lit from the inside, and you can see a few creatures moving inside. Nearby, you see four small, hunched beings surrounding something cooking over a fire. You think that, given the cover from the rocks around them, you could make easy prey of them. While looking around, you also hear a sudden, shrill scream from one of the stalagmite dwellings, followed by a whistle. You can hear a female voice screaming something, and you see several of the hunched figures, like those surrounding the fire, run towards the dwelling. You use your newfound agility to descend from the column, which with impressive speed, but the plodding walk to the dwelling takes you a while. During the trip, you can hear the sounds of battle inside, and as you get nearer, you can hear a pained growl like that of an animal. It shifts in pitch to become the same female voice you heard before, also yelling in pain. You can hear some more indistinct noises, like a shrill chittering, but you can't make out the words. You quietly approach the door to the structure and peer inside from around the corner. You see four small, squat creatures with large, light eyes and strange noses surrounding another creature. You hesitate to call it that based on its smell, it would seem to be more like a plant or a fungus. It is not appetizing at any rate. It appears wounded, and the other creatures surrounding it seem to be taking the upper hand in battle. The central creature seems to be chittering to the other creatures in a language you can't understand, but appears to be doing so with some difficulty. The other creatures are speaking the same language with ease. Frustration growing on her face, she lets slip,
"Just let me go!"
in a tongue you recognize. You're not sure if you act out of desire to help her because only one group is edible, but you quickly step through the doorway and swing your arms wide, slamming all the small, chittering creatures against the wall. Some instinct tells you to neutralize the caster first, and you quickly begin shoving her down your throat after flinging her staff to the ground. As you do so, the robed one in the far corner grabs your tentacles and wrenches himself free. You try to grab him again, but he leaps from your grasp and flings himself at you in a vicious kick. Fortunately, in his haste, he did not aim true. With a quick jerk of your torso, you dodge his blow, and he hits the wall behind you. The caster finishes her trip into your ever-waiting stomach. She is not as filling a meal as the human and elf were, but she is delicious nonetheless. The mushroom creature picks up the small staff and quickly brings it down on your attacker's head with all her might. The end of the staff connects squarely with his skull with a loud crack, and his body falls limp. You disarm the other two and quickly begin to devour the unarmored one. You shove him down your gullet, then bring the armored one up over your head. Rather than trying to manipulate all the clasps and buckles to remove the clunky armor from him, you simply constrict him with your powerful arms and crush the meat out of the metal shell. You hear the girl chant something unidentifiable, and there is a quick flash of white light. You sling the excess metal, blood, fur, and pulverized tissue to the side and survey the scene as you feel your body swelling and feeding from the three fresh bodies in your stomach. The fungus girl has backed up against the far wall and is holding the staff defensively. She does not look injured anymore. She looks at you, then at the door behind you, then back down at the one remaining unconscious furry creature. She prods the limp body towards you with the end of her staff and looks at you expectantly, breathing heavily.
"All right, girl, how you gotta get out of this one?"
she mutters to herself under her breath. You decide to be friendly towards this inedible creature, but you're not sure how to begin. What do you do?
"Excuse me," you say, your voice a deep rumble. "I apologize for my manners."
You bow your head politely and flick an errant bit of meat off your chin.
"Please do not be alarmed. I have no intention of eating you. You are not meat. My name is Victor."
You look up and see the girl's face shift through a chain of about 7 conflicting expressions. A moment passes in silence. She swallows audibly.
"Yvette!"
she finally says, lowering the staff somewhat.
"A pleasure,"
you reply, your voice monotonous and guttural.
"You're safe now. Tell me, why were those creatures attacking you? What did they want?"
She lifts her hand to her head and takes a deep breath, her face finally settling on a combination of anxiety and confusion.
"Harak possessed me! This is surreal! I'm still shocked you can talk! Wow! No, wait, that was probably offensive, but I mean, look at you! What the hell are you? I thought I was gonna die for the second time today!"
She starts to pace back and forth along the back wall of the dwelling, gesticulating animatedly as she speaks.
"Here I am, stuck in this damn cave, trying to hide from all these tarpits. I mean, I spent pretty much all damn day melted into stone. Do you have any idea how uncomfortable that is?"
"Excuse me,"
you say, cutting her off. You point to the unconscious creature on the ground.
"May I?"
"Oh yeah, by all means,"
she replies. You scoop the figure up.
"What was I talking about?"
She looks back at you expectantly.
"Why were they attacking you?"
you reply before you begin sucking the unconscious creature down your throat head first.
Right, I didn't come from here. I used to live in the cave next cave over. Source of that river out there at the main of Mother Oasis. We and these talpets all used to be fine with each other. I mean, we got along. Then all of a sudden, some guy from the surface shows up in there, and they're all, 'Oh, this guy's great. Oh, he's so powerful. Oh, you should follow him too, or you suck and should die.' And then they're going on all the time about their gods are better than our gods, and they keep expanding their tunnels and digging further, and they collapse the tunnels connecting our caves, and now I'm stuck over here, and they..."
She starts to choke up a bit, but plows forward.
They killed my friend Avara, and they tried to kill me. And then this giant tentacle monster showed up, and I'm rambling at you so hard right now."
She sobs audibly and covers her eyes.
"I'm sorry, this is really weird.
I mean...
I mean..."
She gestures towards you and sighs. "Incidentally, all 4 of the... talpids, were they? The talpids have all digested. You feel your mind becoming clearer and the aching in your joints that you didn't know existed until it was gone has faded. You feel like you can move more quickly now. In addition, you feel like you have enough energy to direct your growth in another way. Would you like to be able to camouflage, spit acid, or hone your senses?" You direct your growth into the ability to change the color of your body. Not wanting to scare your new friend, you wait to test it out. With this new change in your physiology, you feel a deeper understanding of the inner workings of your body. You're certain such an action is possible, if you only had a bit more energy. You have a few more questions concerning Yvette's current predicaments, and you peer outside to make sure the coast is clear before spending time to address them.
"I'm sorry," you begin.
You're not exactly sure what that means or why you feel the need to express it to her, but something tells you it will endear her to you.
"Tell me, do you know of any safe places around here?"